Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Brilliant. Now, just want to take a few minutes to look at a really, really cool story in the Bible. And very short situation, but really profound and powerful in terms of what can happen in people's lives. And so I just want you, if you've got a Bible, you can turn to Mark chapter 10. I don't know if we can get the words on the screen for what we're going to read. Mark chapter 10, verse 13 onwards. Just want to read this. I love this story. And it just shows God's heart for us and how simple it is for us to respond to the goodness of God. So let's have a look at this story. Mark chapter 10, verse 13 to verse 16. People brought small children to Jesus to be blessed by him, but the disciples tried to prevent them. It says here, this annoyed Jesus, and he told them, allow these little ones to come to me. Don't try to stop them. For God's kingdom belongs to those who know they are like children before God. I tell you most emphatically, unless anyone receives the gift of God's kingdom like a little child, he will never enter it at all. Then Jesus took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and he blessed them. So here's a bit of a picture of Jesus ministering to people, preaching, doing stuff out in the everyday things of life. And then these children were brought to Jesus. We don't want children here. Jesus doesn't want to mess with kids and spend time with kids. He's got more serious things to do. He's got more sort of proper problems to deal with than mess about praying for kids and giving kids time and everything. And that was the attitude and the thinking that was going on. And so the disciples say, no, Jesus doesn't want to waste his time with kids. He's got more important things to do. But Jesus overheard what was going on. He said, oi, hang on, guys. That's my translation. He said, oi, hang on, guys. And he said, wait a minute. He said, no, let them come to me because I want to bless them. But then what did Jesus actually say? He said, allow these little ones to come to me. Don't try to stop them, for the kingdom belongs, God's kingdom that he wants to give people, belongs to those who know they are like little children before God. I love this little twist that God puts on into the situation that Jesus kind of says here, because we don't just want to think about natural children in terms of how they would come to somebody, but how as God, as a father, sees us as people and how we can come to him. And Jesus demonstrated here, because in the Bible it says that Jesus said himself, if you've seen me, then you've seen my Father. Jesus said himself, I've only come to do the things that my Father shows me to do, and I only say the things that my Father gives me to speak. So that's why Jesus said, if you've seen me, if you see what I'm like with people, then you know what my Father is like in heaven. You know what God's like in heaven. And then he says, but in order to receive this kingdom, we've got to be like little children. Now, the world says, if you want anything, you've got to accomplish something to get it. So if you're going to be successful, if you're going to do well, if you're going to provide a secure future for yourself, the world says you've got to get qualifications, you've got to get a good education, you've got to make a way for yourself, you've got to do something to provide for yourself so that you can live the lifestyle you want or buy all the stuff you're going to buy, have a secure kind of future and all that. That's what life kind of says to people you've got to do. If you want to get a mortgage or a loan, you've got to prove to the bank or whoever you're getting the money from that you've got the wherewithal, the ability to pay the money back. So in order to receive something, get something from the bank, you've got to show that you're able to do something in order to be worthy of having that money. Some people, maybe they've got, they're racked with stuff in their life. Maybe there's things that have happened to people that have caused guilt and shame and pain in their lives. And in the natural, there's a shrinking back or there's a hiding because of the embarrassment or the shame or the fear that has gripped hold of people. And in those situations, people can easily feel like, well, I'm not good enough to be accepted by people. I'm not good enough to be loved by people. Or I'm not worthy enough, or even their perception of God, because of the things that have happened to me or the things I've done, I'm not good enough for God. God wouldn't want to have a relationship with me because there's too much that's happened in my life that would keep me away or make me unacceptable to Him. So we can easily think that there's a barrier between me and God, and because of what I've done and who I am, then God, I can't know God, or God couldn't forgive me or heal me or sort me out. Then you have reason and intellect. We often reason stuff out in life. We develop our intellect because, well, if I can suss everything out, then maybe I can prove that anything that God does is not actually God, but I can reason it and bring some intellect to it and actually work my way around that and come up with a good reason why, well, it wasn't God, it was just coincidence, or it just happened. Maybe some people today, you've listened to Warren's story and of what God's done in his life over the last 6 months, and I don't know, maybe some of you are sitting there trying to work it out. Well, hang on a minute, if he's got cancer in his body, he's done chemotherapy, radiotherapy, whatever, hasn't sorted it out, it's still there, the doctor said you're going to die, mate. There's no way out of this one. But yet 6 months later, here's a bloke standing with his hair growing back, and he's full of health and life, and there's no cancer in his body, and it's completely gone. Hallelujah. Now, there's just some things in life that you can't explain away. There's some things that just happen, no matter how much intellect we've got, no matter how much wealth or money we might have, no matter how much need or something might be going on, there's a point in our lives where actually it's like, well, God, maybe you're a bit bigger than I am. Maybe, God, you have got the ability and the power to heal somebody. Maybe you have got the ability and the power to change circumstances and deal with hurt and pain or rejection or fear or whatever have gone on in people's lives. Life also, the world says that, well, if you're going to know God, you've got to be a religious kind of person anyway. Have you ever met somebody? Oh, I've met a number of people when you talk to them and they ask you, what does it mean to know Jesus? And you kind of talk about having a relationship with God, that it's not a religion. It's not just turning up for church for an hour on a Sunday morning, going to a building where you go through a religious form for an hour, then you go home, live the rest of your life doing whatever, and then you go back to another meeting on a Sunday morning. When you talk about a living relationship with somebody who's alive that you can talk to and he talks back, and it's knowing God in a personal way. Some people say to me, well, that's all right for you because you're religious. And some people are religious, but some aren't. So if you're of that kind of persuasion to be religious, then that's good for you, but it's not good for me. And I think sometimes people think you've got to be religious to actually go to church or to know God. I think life also says, and the world says, that what is a Christian? Well, it's somebody who goes to church. A Christian is somebody who reads the Bible. Or a Christian is somebody who prays prayers. And Christians do all of those things, but that doesn't make you a Christian. It doesn't give you a relationship with God. Years ago, when I was in a band, Jane and I used to be involved in a band years ago, travelling around doing all kinds of stuff and playing music and that. And some of the things we used to do is going to schools around the country, playing on music, doing lunchtime concerts, doing concerts at the end of week-long mission things, and seeing loads of young people responding, giving their lives to Jesus. And one particular lesson we were in, we used to do loads of lessons in schools, music lessons, RE lessons, all kinds of stuff. And one of the lessons we did, we always started with, well, what do you think a Christian is? And, you get the usual answers. We used to write them on the board. And we used to say, you know, what's a Christian? Oh, I know, mate. Somebody goes to church. Okay, a Christian goes. Somebody reads the Bible. Okay. And one kid put his hand up and he said, is a Christian somebody who grows his own vegetables? Now, nobody else in the class laughed at that moment. They weren't going, oh, you idiot. They were like, well, is it? Is a Christian somebody who grows his own vegetables? You know, And at that moment, it was like, well, I'm sure some Christians do grow their own vegetables, but growing a carrot certainly doesn't make you a Christian. Maybe, well, let's not go there. But anyway, but it's funny what the world says, what life says, what people say, knowing God must be like, or whether you're good enough or not. But the amazing thing about this little story here is Jesus said, If you want to receive the kingdom, if you want to come into relationship with me, it doesn't matter how much intellect you've got. It doesn't matter how much money you've got. It doesn't matter how much pain or shame or guilt there might be in your life. It doesn't matter whether you've grown up in a religious system and being quite a religious person where you've tried to fulfill things in the Bible in your own effort, but maybe never had a relationship with God that's real and alive. Because Jesus was talking about all of that lot, and he said, but if you come to me like a little child, having a relationship with me is not based on your intellect. It's not based on your qualifications. It's not based on how good you are in your career. It's not based on how big your house is or what your car's like. It's not based on the need or the difficulties all, you know, in your life. See, what does a child do in relation to a parent? A child has no fears and inhibitions. You think of a little kid, a little child. My kids, when they were younger, now if my kids run at me, they bowl me over because they're bigger than I am. But, you know, when your kids are really little and you get in from work or you come home and you haven't seen them all day or whatever, they don't just stand at the top of the stairs and go, "All right, Daddy," you know, and then go back to their room. They know you're home. They run down the stairs. They run up and they jump. They grab hold of you. And they're like, "Dad, Dad, Dad, come and play with me. Come and play with me." Why? Now, they don't expect me as I walk in the door to come up to them and go, "What do you think you've been doing all day? Playing. What do you think you've been doing? Happy, come up and hugging me. I don't want you to be like that." I mean, what's my heart and response to them? If they run towards me, I don't just stand there like that and go, "What are they going to do?" You know, my arms are open wide. I run to them, greet them, grab hold of them, hug them, do you know what I mean, and embrace them, because there's no fear in love. And there's no inhibition in a child, is there? There's no hiding. That's interesting. You know, if a child does something wrong, and they know they've done something wrong, maybe one day when you do come home, you walk in the door and one of your kids has done something wrong and they're thinking, "Oh, once my dad finds out, I'm going to get into trouble." And maybe instead of running up to you that day, there's a little bit more hesitancy and a little bit more kind of, you know, when he finds out. So can I go and grab him and hug him? Or do I just need it because when he finds out, I'm going to get told off? Or when mum tells him, "She told me off earlier, and will he tell me off again?" And all of that. And sometimes we see God like that. You see, if there's no fear in love, even if you know you've done something wrong or you feel your life is out of court with God, if there's shame and pain, you know there's stuff happening in your life, you can still come to God without fear that he's never going to reject you. You see, if a child knows the parent loves them, there isn't a fear of when my dad gets home, he's going to whack me when I've had it when I get home. He might know it might get a little bit because God needs to discipline, help us sometimes. Discipline is actually to help shape and help us to live in the right way. But we don't have to be afraid of approaching God because the Bible says his love is unfailing. So I think it's amazing the way God is with us. But it's amazing how God has taken the initiative. God does not expect us to take the initiative with him. He has already taken the initiative for us to have a relationship with him. See, the world says you've got to do all this stuff to be successful, to get something. But actually from God, it's not based on, "I've got to be like this, I've got to do this, I've got to do the other, I've got to match this, I've got to know the Bible, I've got to be religious, I'm supposed to go to church, I should pray prayers, I should read the Bible." If God, no, you can come to God with a broken down life. You can come to God. You might be the richest person on the planet. But you can come to God. What he wants is relationship with us. And the amazing thing that God did, he made it possible by coming himself to earth. Because he knew we could not reach him. It was impossible. There's no way we could reach God. Doesn't matter how much intellect, wealth, education. Doesn't matter what we've got. There's none of that can reach God. It said the Bible talks about that we've all sinned and fallen short of God's mark or God's glory, of who he is. And that's why he then says, "But I want to come and bridge that gap between man and me, between people and me. I want to bridge that gap." And he bridged that gap between us and God by Jesus coming and going to the cross, hung on a cross. And when he hung on that cross, he took every reason that we could have that, or that might be in place that separates them. He took everything upon himself, every sin, every pain, every guilt, every shame, every rejection, everything we need to be forgiven for, everything that we've done wrong that nailed Jesus to the cross, because it's our sin that nailed him to that cross. That's why God came, because he had to deal with sin, break the power of sin over our lives so that we could know God, because sin has a power. And when you know God, the power of that sin has been broken. That's what baptism is all about. It's saying the power of sin has been broken off my life. It doesn't have any hold on me any longer. So I'm thanking Jesus for what he's done. That's why I can be baptized. All of that sin, all the stuff that separated me from God, that can stay down there. And I now come up in a new life, forgiven and free from all of that, so I can know God in a real relationship. And that's why Jesus came. So that he could kill off and bury everything that could separate us from God. And that's why, because of what Jesus has done, that we can come to God and say, God, I don't come with my intellect. I don't come with my reason. I don't come with money. I don't come with all of this stuff to make me acceptable to you. Because I realize, actually, if I come like a little child, a child has no reason to run to the parent, except just because I want to embrace, I want a relationship. The child doesn't say, well, if I behave myself, my dad's going to give me a hug. Or if I do the washing up, then my mum's going to be happy with me. Because parent-child relationship isn't based on what you do that makes that person happy. Now, there is, when you know God, the way you live your life, we want to please God in the way we live our lives. But in terms of coming to God, it's not based on your performance. And so this morning, I know there's probably quite a number of you here today that don't know Jesus. Maybe you don't have a relationship with him. And you think, well, I've tried to reason stuff. Well, there comes a point where you'll never be able to reason God out. There comes a point where it's like, well, do I actually believe that this God, this Jesus, that these guys know, sing about, worship, shout, clap, cheer about, talk about from this book called the Bible? There comes a point where to believe in him is just, well, okay, I'm going to take a step towards God and believe that he's real to begin a relationship. And you know, often when you give your life to Jesus, after that, then you suddenly, oh, right, that's what it means. I understand now. Things have happened in your life, people have rejected you, you feel wounded, or it's like you've had things that have run through your life and you feel like there's scars there. There's the effects of what's happened in your life. And you think, well, how can I come to God? I've got to sort myself out, surely, before I can come to God. No, Jesus said, no, come like a little child. And just come to me and I'll be able to heal you. I'll be able to sort you out. I can deal with rejection because you'll find hope in me. You'll find healing in me. You'll find peace in me. You'll find destiny in me. So you can come and God says, I'll embrace you with my life and with my power to set you free from all of those things that cause you fear, cause you pain, and have racked through your life. It's pretty awesome, isn't it, how good God is? And God has already sorted it all out for us. There's nothing in our lives that God hasn't already thought about, known about, and has the ability to sort out. There's not one person on the earth that is outside of God's ability to forgive and to save and to put his life in and to give a new life to. Otherwise, we'd be saying we're bigger than God. I think God's slightly bigger than we are. But you know, you might think, well, I've done stuff in my life. How can God forgive me? Well, the Bible says that if you confess your sins, if you say to God, God, this is what I've done. I've messed up here. I've done this. I've done the other. He says, if you tell God, you confess your sin, what the Bible says is God is faithful. Yes. How many of you would like to have a relationship with somebody who will never, ever let you down? Yes. I mean, even if you've got the best marriage on earth, there's still moments where there's, you know, we're not perfect. So there are moments where you have a little bit, where you get whatever, a bit short with each other or whatever. Or something goes, but what about having a relationship with a person that will never, ever let you down? What about having a relationship with a person that will never, ever say something negative about you? Somebody will never talk to you, to somebody else behind your back, and say something about you. About having a relationship, with somebody who will love you perfectly, give you an identity, security, where there's no fear because his perfect love casts. There's no room for fear because of God's perfect love. When you know somebody has the best for you constantly, because that's who God is. That's what he's like. That's the kind of relationship you can have with him today. Maybe some people here today, you've had that kind of thing and you walked away the other way. And it's like, wow, God wants you to return and come back into the fullness of full life that he wants you to have today. How many of you know God is awesome? He'll never let you down. We've heard a story of God's faithfulness in Warren's life today. If he can do that for Warren, he can do that for you. I don't mean that in a negative way, Warren, sitting there, mate. But we all think that, well, it's all right for him, but he's not me. And we all think like that. Well, it's all right for them. God will do it for them, but not for me. No, God came and did something on the cross for you. And you and everybody. So God's initiated something. What he wants is a response to his unfailing love and faithfulness. So let's stand together, shall we? And we're going to take a few moments just to pray and just respond to the goodness of God this morning. And maybe for some of you today, just give you the opportunity, if you've never taken a step towards God, if you've never even approached God before, you think, well, I'm unacceptable. Well, God's dealt with that one, because when he died on the cross, he took everything on himself that would make us unacceptable. The amazing thing that Jesus did when he died on the cross, he was hanging there, and the Bible says that he became guilty. How does he do that? Well, this is the miracle. The punishment of our sin we deserve, and that punishment is separation from God. But God didn't want it to stay that way. He said, no, I don't want people to be separated from me. I want them to have relationship. That's why I've created you, to have relationship with me. You're created, you're designed to have relationship with God. The Bible says we're created in his image, created to know him. But something separated us, and it's called sin. And there's a wall there. If you don't know God, there's a wall of sin between you and God. But Jesus, when he died on the cross, he says he took every sin of every person upon himself. I don't know what that looked like, but when he hung on the cross, he'd been so beaten, so disfigured, it says they couldn't even recognize who he was. Now, that's the damage that sin does in people's lives. And you might think, well, I look all right on the outside, but on the inside, that's the damage. And sometimes because of what happens on the inside, you can see the effects outside because of people hurting and in pain in the inside. But Jesus took all of that on himself, every pain, every sin, everything that could separate you from God. He hung there and took upon himself the whippings, the beatings, everything that had happened to him. He took on himself, and he's saying, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. It wasn't just a cry to some people there. It was a cry to mankind, saying, Father, have mercy, forgive mankind, for they don't know, they don't understand the power of sin that is operating in their life. They don't understand, so I'll take it all upon me, put all of their sin on me, so that I can say, Father, forgive them. Thank you, Lord. And he hung there. Yes. Took every sickness, every sin upon himself, and then at the right time, at the right moment, because he knew everything had been put on him, he then said, Father. Well, he shouted, it is finished. And he gave up his spirit, and then he died. At that moment, the power of sin was broken over mankind. sin was defeated. And that's why today, 2,000 years later, any of us can come to God and say, thank you that you've broken a power of sin. And now what I want you to do, that wall of sin that's between me and you, I want you to forgive me of everything I've ever done wrong, all the sin, all the stuff. So that wall is completely broken down. So I can come like a little child to you, God, and you can become my father. I can start relationship with you and I can be embraced by you, forgiven by you, and start a completely new life. Because you've got a future, you've got a hope, you've got a destiny for me, you've got relationship for me. That's the awesome nature of God's goodness. That he did something before we were even here. So he's done something already that's not based on our performance or our ability or our education, our thinking, our hurts or pains. He's already done it. And so this morning, if you're saying, wow, I want to know God if he's like that. I want a relationship with Jesus. If that's the Jesus, that's the God of the Bible. That's the Jesus that we worship and that we have relationship with. And if you're saying this morning, I want to know Jesus, I want to give my life to him, then we're going to give you an opportunity now just to take a first step and respond, to pray and say, God, I want to give you my life. I want to bow the knee, if you like, of my life. And I want you to become Lord. I want you to become my Savior, to save me from all that sin, all the rubbish, the stuff going on. Father, I want to give you my life today, but I want you to give me your life. And so let's just take a moment, just close our eyes around the room. And if in your heart you're like, God, I want to know you. You might not understand fully what it means. It's like any relationship. It begins, and then over the months and years, it grows and matures. And you get to know the person more and more and more and more. Your love grows more and more. The amazing thing is, God's love will never increase in your life because he loves you fully now as much as he ever will. So that's why it's awesome. It's not based on performance. It's based on who he is. So if you want to respond this morning, say, yeah, I want to take a first step. I want you to be really bold. Just raise one of your hands for me right now so I can see where you are. Just put your hand up and I can see where you are. And then we're just going to pray together. And then we'd love to pray with you afterwards. So if you know, man, I want to take a first step to knowing God, if you just raise your hand so I can see you, and then we're just going to pray together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Anybody, you want to respond to him this morning? Take a first step and say, yes, Jesus, I want to begin a relationship with you. Thanks, mate. Anybody else? Anybody else want to just respond to Jesus this morning? You might have walked away from God and you think, I need to get back with God and get sorted with him. Just raise your hand for a moment so I can see you. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Let's just take a few moments and just pray together. If you've raised your hands, it'd be good just to pray. I can give you a clue as how to pray, but really it's from your heart, just responding to God this morning. That's the thing that's going to work in your life, not just repeating a prayer from me. But first of all, let's just pray together. And you can talk to God where you are. Lord Jesus, thank you for your amazing, incredible goodness. I thank you for what you've done for me on the cross. Thank you that you took every sin that I've done on the cross, even though it was 2,000 years ago. And I thank you because you've paid the price for me. I can come to you and ask you to forgive me for every sin that I've done. Everything that separated me from you. And I ask for your forgiveness right now. Thank you that you wipe the slate clean in my life. Thank you, Jesus, for your amazing forgiveness. And Jesus, I ask you right now to come into my life. I give you mine and I ask you for yours. If you're getting back right with God, then just tell him, ask him to forgive you for whatever you've been doing. Ask him to, God, I want to get right with you, get restored with you. You want to be in right relationship once again. And just thank him again for his forgiveness. If you're responding for the first time, just, Jesus, thank you that you give me your life right now. I want to follow you for the rest of my life. I want to walk with you for the rest of my life. I thank you, Jesus, for your goodness. I think for the rest of us here today, we want to be like those little children. That doesn't mean we're childish. What it means is the way we approach God, without fear, without limitations. We can come boldly, like a kid runs to its parent, boldly, confidently. The child expects a great response. So we can expect a great response from God, because he's first loved us, we then can love him. And so I don't know if there's things going on in people's lives this morning. You already know Jesus, but you know, oh God, I just feel there's a barrier. There's some stuff in my life. Well, if you know there's things, God can deal with that. If you know you need to be forgiven for things, just ask him right now, Father, forgive me for the stuff, the barriers that I've put up, walls that I've put up. Father, I ask you to forgive me right now, whatever that might be in your situation. Thank him that he forgives, he cleanses you. Fathers, you might be like, well, God, my intellect's getting in the way. I'm really struggling to believe. Well, just submit your mind to him right now. God, I submit my thinking, my intellect to you. I thank you for the mind of Christ. I thank you for your understanding. There are different people in the Bible said to God, help me to believe. It's great to be honest with God. You can just say to God, help me to believe. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we praise your name. Father, we thank you that you're so good in our lives. We just come boldly to him this morning, confidently, like a child does. Thank you, Ian, for his embrace. Thank him for his embrace right now in a fresh way. Father, I thank you that you deal with scars and pain and things in people's lives that have taken place. Thank you for your freedom right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Earlier on when I was praying, I just believe it was right that we spend a few minutes just praying for people and to believe, you know, God wants to heal people physically, emotionally, in different ways. Maybe there's some things that have happened in your life. And God, just with somebody agreeing with you, praying with you, God brings freedom into your life in a fresh way. So if we could just have a couple of the guys up, Chad and whatnot. If you know you need physical healing in some way, whatever it is. You've heard Warren's story. God healed him of cancer. God's bigger than cancer. There's other people in the room. How many of you have been healed of cancer? You've had cancer and you know you've been healed by God. There's a number of others here that God has done that for them. We've had people here before being healed of AIDS, where they've had AIDS and there's no cure for that in the natural, yet God has healed them and dealt with all of that in their body. So there's nothing that's too big for God. And there's nothing too small for him either, because God's involved in the details of our lives. If you know, man, I need some freedom in my life, then just come down to the front. If you know you need healing physically, mentally, emotionally in some way, I just want you to come to the front. A number of us are leaders here. I know Warren and one or two of the others, we're going to pray for you guys. So if you know you need to receive something in your body today, then nothing's too big for God, okay? It's not, we don't heal. We pray for you in the name of Jesus, and in the name of Jesus, he's the one, because he is the healer. Thank you, Jesus. If you just want to come right down, come a bit further forward. Thank you, Jesus. If everybody else, let's agree with these guys for what God wants to do in their bodies, in their minds, in their emotions, whatever it might be. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If we could have the leadership team. Tracy, if you want to come down as well, pray for people. Thank you, Jesus. Sue McPherson, you want to come down as well? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Father, I thank you that you are the healer. We thank you, Jesus, that you are our healing right now. We take authority over every sickness, every infirmity. We take authority from every kind of cold and flu bug and symptom, right through to cancer, to diagnosis that says there is no cure. We thank you that you are our cure, Jesus. You are our healer. We thank you that 2,000 years ago, every sickness was nailed to that cross and what you took that with you. So we thank you that we can take hold of our healing today on the 13th of February 2011. We can take hold of that healing in our bodies, in our minds, in our emotions. And I speak healing right now over every person, everybody, now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. If you guys want to pray for them, lay hands on them. Just ask maybe what it is if you need to. Or just agree with them right now for God's healing grace to touch their bodies. Dave, do you want to pray for people? Thank you, Jesus. John, do you want to come and pray? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Praise your awesome name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. Pastor Colin, you pray for people? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your awesome name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If we could have some of the stewards, host team guys just to catch people. One or two other guys, if you want to come up, just help catch people in case they go over as they get prayed for. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you that you are the healer. We thank you, you're the restorer. We thank you that you deal with pain and shame. You deal with rejection. You deal with things that just can get involved in our lives. And I thank you that you bring peace into our whole being right now. I thank you for physical healing taking place. Thank you for emotional well-being right now. Thank you for mental health coming into people's minds and bodies now in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. We praise your awesome name. Just lift your hands. Just worship the Lord. Let's exalt him and worship him over these guys' lives right now. His goodness, his faithfulness, his love, his power. Thank you, Jesus. You're awesome. You're mighty. You're great. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Wonderful Lord. Wonderful King. Mighty Lord. Mighty Savior.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.